take 2 hours, so hopefully you'll be home by one. So if you're pretty bad and you need some food, just let me know. I got a half a pack of peanuts in my car. I can bring them in for you. You know, I came to church yesterday, and I went to the mailbox, and this box was in the mailbox. Box was in the mailbox. Did anybody order anything for me? Nobody's saying nothing. Yeah. So it's got my name on it, but then I opened up because I said, well, I didn't order anything. I was supposed to be coming in the box. So I opened up and there's coffee mugs in there. So no hands. Nobody ordered me a coffee mug?
All right, it was me.
Was you?
No, it wasn't.
Oh.
It says
pastor. It says warning. Anything you say or do could be used in a sermon.
Hey,
I don't know if that's about me or about you. I know I definitely do enough. Like, you take Wednesday night.
You don't have a very bright pastor.
I'm trying to improve my intellect. Like I told that we should do Wednesday night. But my wife brought it to my attention that stupider is not a word. And down south, you could use it down south, you see. Y'all stupider. But you can't, it's more stupid. So then she went to proceed and tried to teach me the rules of English. I said, well, what's the rule then? Why can you say greater but you can't say stupider? She's like, well, that's just the way you're supposed to say it. You can say greater. I said, well, it doesn't make no sense to me. So stupider is left off, but greater isn't. So anyways, I'm going to mess words up when I try to say it. But yeah, so I get plenty of fodder to use for preaching sermons. But so nobody ordered me a coffee mug.
Anything you say or do, could you be using a sermon? That's true for my part. So, amen. It's just good to be in church this morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. No place I'd rather be.
Yes.
Is to be in church and glorify our Savior, glorify the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's why I'm here this morning. I'm here this morning to worship our Savior, to give Him glory, to give Him honor, and to give Him praise this morning. Brother Lance, can you sum up in prayer, brother?
Father, we thank you for this chance to come together. We're so glad for all these brothers and sisters that have come to hear the word of God preached, and indeed it is food for our soul. Help us to be faithful.
Yes.
Father, as the preacher preaches to us today, and sometimes it stings, to help us to take it to heart and to learn from it and to walk closer to it and to learn to love you for our lives.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we ask.
Amen.
Good morning. How is everybody this morning? Good to see you all. All right, if you would, please stand and turn with me to page 720. Jesus loves even me.
Amen.
Jesus loves me. I am so glad.
second verse, man. That's written to me.
Yes.
I know I definitely had plenty of time to wander away, but God's grace and His love and mercy has me here getting my personal concert here, hearing you guys sing His praise this morning. I'm so thankful for that. Would turn with me to page 533.
If it's the way of truth. Exactly this morning. Amen. So quick announcements this morning. I mentioned it in Sunday school, but for those that weren't here, Lord willing, after the service, I'm going to put this list up over there. It's the new church cleaning schedule and list. We're going to have two types of cleanings. Try to do it every week, like I said, in Sunday school, because we're having so many visitors now on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and also Wednesday nights, that will, 1 week will be just a touch-up, and then the next week will just be a regular cleaning. And we got this list right here of what entails a touch-up and what entails regular cleaning. And so if you'd like to help out the church by cleaning it one week, I'll put it back there. There's a pen back over there as well. Just put your name beside the date. And if you need a key, if you're a member and you need a key or try to get into church, let me know. If you don't have one and you want to clean, we'll work it out to where I won't deny anybody who wants to come in and clean some toilets. All right, so if you want to come in and clean, let me know, and we'll get it worked out if you don't have a key. Also, Lord willing, this Thursday, barring any tornadoes or extreme weather, which seems to occur every Thursday night between 6 and 7, Lord willing, we're going to try to have a public outreach again at Front Street and Pine Street, holding up some scripture signs. I got some new ones that have come in, so Lord willing, we'll be out there Thursday from 6 to 7. And then I have a list over here that is for, I'm trying to start up August 31st. It's a Tuesday from 6 to 7. Now, the time is tentative right now until I see everybody's on the list and if we need to change it. But right now, August 31st, it's a Tuesday from 6 to 7. We're going to try to go through a grief and sorrow and depression type Bible study slash class. Had a couple individuals ask me to do that because of just some things they're going through. So we'll try to do like a 5 to 6 week study on grief, on sorrow, on depression, and what the Word of God has to say about it and how the Lord can help us through it. So if you're interested in attending and coming to that Bible study on Tuesday nights from 6 to 7, please sign up over here because I got a book that's going to go along with it that I'd like to order for everybody and give to everybody that attends those Bible studies. So if you'd like to come to that, just put your name over here so I can get you a book. Also this evening, from tonight all the way through Friday, First Baptist Church over there in Easton, Pastor Gilmore is having a tent meeting inside their church this year at 6:30. We will be having services here and also on Wednesday night here. I know in years past, this church has gone over there on those nights to support that work and that outreach. But due to the fact of all the visitors we've been having come in on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, I don't have liberty as a pastor to leave when there might be somebody coming in via the website or some other means of coming here. I'd like to be here for that. So, but if you feel interested in heading over there, there'll be 6:30 every night over there at First Baptist Church in Easton. And I believe that's all I have for us this morning. Amen.
My grandma's here today. And hi, Grandma. She had a couple songs that she always liked to hear when they'd come on the internet. And one of them is Thinking About Home. And I know that she always would be worried about her husband, my grandpa, sitting on a park bench thinking about home if she went on to glory before he did. Well, you don't have to worry about that, Grandma. He's already home. A penny for your thoughts, I said to the old man, as he sat there on the park bench all alone. With silver hair and wrinkled brown eyes gleaming, he smiled and said, just thinking about my home. I sat down and we shared some laughs together, and the sin of remembrance, it did roll. We talked about life's gains and yes, its losses, but mostly he just talked about his home. He said, I'm thinking about home, thinking about going home, dreaming about leaving here, I'm ready to be moving on, it won't be long before the sun will set and I'll be gone, but until then, I'll be thinking about home. I said to the old man, where's your home and what's it like? He said, oh, ain't nothing round here can compare. You see, a king had it built and he gave the deed to me. And most of my family's already there. He said, I'm thinking about home, thinking about going home, dreaming about leaving here, ready to be moving on. It won't be long before the sun will set. be gone, but until then, I'll be thinking about home. He said, I'm thinking about home, dreaming about going home. I'm dreaming about leaving here, ready to be moving on. It won't be long before the sun will set and I'll be gone. But until then, I'll be thinking about
think. He did this to Mary. Just thinking about home. Just thinking about yesterday. On an earthly standpoint, yesterday I had to do some work on my truck and went over to my parents' house and thinking about how awesome it is to go home, be able to spend time with them. If anybody knows me, there's a reason why I'm not a full-time mechanic, because I need a lot of prayer when I work on cars. But I'm thankful for my dad's grace in there, just reminding me it's all right. God's in control. We'll figure it out. And really, really, it was so frustrating as I went through all that to rip it apart and found out I bought the wrong parts. Another reason why I'm not a full-time mechanic. But just thinking about being able to go home and visit there and then having the opportunity to go home with my wife and how awesome it is at my home.
Come on now.
Thinking even better. This really isn't a home. I go home to be the Lord someday. Both my parents, my wife, my brother and sister right there. The home I have here on earth are going to be at home with me in eternity. Boy, I'm thankful for that. Whew, all right, so I'm going to gather myself together. I'll ask you to please stand and turn with me to page 546. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
There's like a world, look at the Savior. the presence of Jesus the
one of my favorite hymns. And one of the reasons it's one of my favorite hymns is I do stand in the maze of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
This morning I don't understand and I can't comprehend why Jesus would love me.
Amen. Yes, come on. Preach it.
Why would Jesus love me? You know, there's no other religion that compares with Bible-believing Christianity. None. There's none that compares with a God. See, everybody wants to look at God in a negative light. Nobody ever looks at God in a positive light. Instead of asking God, why are all these bad things happening in this world? Why don't you ask God why you're still in the world?
Yeah.
Do you understand this morning? Why we would ask God, how could you allow this to happen? The question is, God, why haven't you done it sooner, God? Lord, why haven't you just wiped out creation and said, I'll just start over? You see, listen to me this morning. I pray you pay attention this morning that if you had the ability to create life this morning, right? And you, I gave you some Play-Doh. Don't worry, this isn't my message. I'm giving you a free one right now. If you had the ability to create life and I gave you Play-Doh and you made a little individual and you were able to give that little Play-Doh, whatever you made, life. And it came to life and it started walking around this piano and you started talking to it and all of a sudden it turned around and spit in your face. Or it turned around and gave you the middle finger. Or started cussing at you. I know what probably everybody in this room would do. Now somebody might say, well, no, preacher, I wouldn't do it. I would just put up with it. Most of us would be like, oof. Right? Most of us would smash it, pick it up. We would say, who do you think you are? I just made you. I gave you life. But that's what we do to God, yet God shows mercy. God shows grace. God shows long-suffering. God puts up with it day after day after day, year after year after year. God puts up with it. God has his hand outstretched to mankind and says, I provided deliverance for you. I provided an atonement for your sins through my son, Jesus Christ. All you have to do is grab a hold of his hand. Believe on him. And you'll have eternal life. Why, I hate you, God. I hate you, what you're doing in my life. Are you insane? Are we insane? See, we go through life thinking that we're immortal. That this life will always be this way and will always be here. And we don't put no thought into eternity. Eternity for some of us, God forbid and God help it not to be, could be this week. And now, yes, it's just preacher rhetoric and preacher talk and... No, that's reality of life. None of us are guaranteed today. There's none of us guaranteed today. Some of us in here, we could have a heart issue we don't even know we have. And it's only by God's grace that he knows all about it and he's letting you live. You could be missing a complete artery in one of your heart valves or whatever. That's what happened with Pete Mirovich, basketball player. He's playing all those years. Didn't realize something was wrong with his heart. All those years he had and he was doing this and all of a sudden he drops over. And they did. They realized his heart was messed up. Never knew it. God's merciful and God's gracious. And it's a wonder that God loves us this morning. Amen. Brethren, we've done things despite God. We're not talking about ignorance. We're talking about we willfully did something against God, yet we're sitting here this morning. That's God's grace, that's God's mercy, and that's God's love this morning. That he loves us and has made a way out for us that we can spend eternity with him. If you want to stay here, stay here. I want to go there. Listen, it won't bother me right now. All of a sudden, poof, the clouds open up. Jesus Christ comes back, calls us home, and we're in eternity heaven. That wouldn't bother me one moment if that happened right this second. Take me on to heaven. Let me stay up there for 7 years while the rest of the world wants to be down here. Let them go through it and let me come back on my white horse. Amen. You see, look, I'm looking forward. Look, I ain't worried about what's going on in my government right now. I ain't worried about it. Because someday I'm getting me a white horse and I'm coming back with my Savior and he's kicking some tail and I'm looking forward to that day. It is not our place right now to dethrone government. That's not the church's job. Yet most Christians today think it's our job. That's not the job of the church. Our job as a church right now is a lamb for the slaughter. You know, a lot of Christians don't like that now. You know why? Because we're rebellious. You ain't going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do it this. All right, go ahead, rebel. Go ahead, Cora. Rebels. And that's what, you know what the problem is? Like I said, in Sunday school, most people don't read their Bible. And if they do read their Bible, it may be, if you're doing good with some Christians, it might be one chapter a day. What was the example left to us by Jesus Christ? Take your Bible and look over at Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter number, Matthew chapter number 11. Now let me put this little asterisk in here real quick. I don't like what's happening. Let me put that little statement in there. I don't like what's happening in my country. It goes against everything that's in me, the way my country is going. But I have a higher calling. I'm not a citizen of this country. That's Bible. That's Bible. I'm looking for a better city. I'm looking for a heavenly one. That's Bible. This is not my home. I'm just a passing through. But do I love my country, United States? Absolutely. I served my country for 4 years. I almost died for my country. So I love my country. But this is not my home. My home now, after I got saved, is a heavenly home over there with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christians need to get a hold of that, and they need to get a hold of who their Savior was and how our Savior lived his life. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. Look what Jesus says here. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." And look what Jesus says, not Preacher Chris. Look what the Bible says. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." That's Jesus talking. You see, part of the problem with the Jews back then is they were looking for Jesus to establish his earthly kingdom. And when he didn't do so, they said, "Crucify him." And that's what happens with some preachers today. People want preachers to talk about our country, want to talk about all that's going on in the government. That's not my job. My job is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and deliverance through him. For sin. You see, the problem in the world today, the problem in the United States today is not our government, it's sin. The church has turned its back on God. The church has turned its back on the Word of God. And the church has allowed sin and rebellion and witchcraft and everything else to creep on in, because the church doesn't want to do what Jesus says, to be meek and lowly and to learn of me. I can't get away from this thing. Why have we lost power in the church? Because we're trying to do it. We're trying to defeat government. We're trying to overthrow the legislator. We're trying to legislate morality. You can't legislate morality outside of the Bible of Jesus, of the Word of God. Brethren, how are we still here as a country? Listen, you answer me a question this morning. How are we still here in this country? And we expect God to do something. Brother, I saw a preacher said something this week on a little quote. He said something about preaching the word. And a preacher sometimes ain't going to be liked. So I'm going to preach the word. And if you like me, like Paul said, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" "Am I therefore become your enemy?" Galatians chapter 4, Paul said to those Galatians, he says, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" How do we expect God to move? How do we expect God to do anything when we punch our ticket in one service, one time a week, and we expect God to do something in our lives? We expect God to do something in our children's lives. We expect God to do something in our country, and we show up one for one service a week. "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus said, "Learn of me." Well, how do you learn of Jesus? How do you learn of Jesus? You spend time in his word, meditate upon it. You just don't read one chapter a week. You just don't read one book a week. Listen, you try to immerse yourself in the word of God. Take your Bible, look at Psalm chapter number 1. The book of Psalms, in chapter number 1. Look what the Bible says here. Psalm chapter 1, verse number 1. Look what the Bible says here. Psalm chapter 1, verse number 1. Psalm 1, 1. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." What is counsel? Counsel is nothing more than instruction or guidance. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." I'm going to tell you something this morning. Sean Hannity is ungodly. Did he just say Sean Hannity is ungodly? Yes! He's a Catholic! Gone to a Jesuit school. Wake up, church! Sean Hannity is ungodly. Oh, I can't believe he said that. Rush Limbaugh was ungodly. We don't want to say that because there are gods. They're the deliverers of the United States of America. Fox News is the deliverer of the United States of America. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Sean Hannity wouldn't step foot in here because he's a Catholic. Rush Limbaugh wouldn't even give you the time of day. He mocked God. I think that's one of the reasons why he lost his voice at one point. He said something along the lines that he had the voice of God. That's blasphemy. We're more concerned with our political agendas than the word of God in Jesus Christ. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Preacher, what are you talking about? Blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the godly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. John Dwessert and his family. Brandt, who's an author, in his History of the Reformation, in the 16th century at Halwyn in Flanders, states that John Dwessert, whom he calls an Anabaptist, and his family, who had been betrayed by the professedly Christian pastor of that town, were carried away by the Dean of Rosen to Lysel. Dwessert was taken with his wife and four sons. The two youngest of his children, not being home when the inquisitor broke into the house, were warned by their neighbors to escape. But one of them said to the other, "Let us not seek to save ourselves, but rather die with our father and mother." In the meantime, they carried the father out, who, seeing his sons, said to them, "Will ye go to the New Jerusalem?" One of them, who was scarcely 16, cried out, "Yes, we will, Father." And they at once surrendered themselves. These, with two other persons of the same faith who happened to be in the house, as also two married couples and a man who had endeavored to comfort them, were at several times burnt at Lysel. Another illustration of the doctrine that followers of Christ must suffer persecution was given in the city of Rotterdam in the year 1544. A number of the followers of Jesus were assembled together in his name to speak to each other for mutual edification and their establishment in the truth of the gospel that they have received. Here they felt the spirit and the power of prayer and praised and rejoiced in the performance of these holy exercises. But such engagements have always excited the highest displeasures of the Catholics, who have sought to put an end to them by every means in their power. Their assembly, being devoted Christians, was betrayed into the hands of its enemies by a woman who came to the house where they had met professedly to borrow a kettle. Being thus thrown into the power of the wolves, these unresisting sheep were treated by them most cruelly, in order, if possible, to draw them away from the truth. They, however, patiently endured persecution for the name of Jesus in a certain hope of his eternal kingdom. As no torments could induce them to recant, they were sentenced to suffer death. The men were beheaded by the sword in the city itself, and the women were most tyrannically thrown into a boat and thrust under the ice till they were drowned. Among those sacrificed was a young female, only 14 years old. She composed a favorite hymn in the old Dutch hymn books, beginning, "To the wide world Emmanuel came, his father kingdom left." Well, May Brandt, in his History of the Reformation, called this a dreadful butchery of a religious assembly of Anabaptists at Rotterdam. How striking the contrast between this church of the Lord and the synagogue of Satan, and how the different the spirit they breathe. The followers of Christ, like lambs, manifest no spirit of revenge, but freely resign their lives for the cause of their Lord. But their enemies breathe out threatenings and slaughters and delight in attempt to destroy the church of the Redeemer. How strikingly differently, too, will be their judgment by the all-seeing and omnipotent judge at the last great day. That's our heritage. Psalm 1:2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Brethren, this is serious things this morning. Where are you at this morning with your walk with God? Where are you at this morning with your walk of God? Are you truly born again this morning? I'm not asking you this morning if you made a profession. I'm asking you this morning, do you have a present possession? I'm asking you this morning, have you truly been born again by the power of God? Have you been made a new creature in Jesus Christ? Have you passed from death unto life? Have old things passed away and all things become new? Have the lights come on? Or do you have just a mere prayer that you pray one day and that's what you're resting on getting you to eternity? Have you been born again? Has the Holy Ghost brought conviction upon you and you turn to Jesus, you turn to God through Jesus Christ, his Son, and the blood he shed on the cross of Calvary to make an atonement for your sins, and you placed your complete faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done for you? Are you saved this morning? Do you know God this morning in truth? Or do you just have a mere profession or a mere baptism? Well, I believed in Jesus and I was baptized, so I'm going to heaven. Do you have a present possession? Does the Holy Spirit bear witness with your spirit this morning that you are a child of God? Not what your Sunday school teacher said you did 20 years ago, but the Holy Ghost says you're saved. I'm yours and you're mine. Brethren, we're missing it this morning. We're missing it. The church is missing it. The church is missing it. It's missing it. It's missing it. It's putting all the emphasis in all the wrong places. Rather, where it needs to be, on the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." You know what the problem is? If you spend more time with Fox News, you'll start acting like Fox News. You spend more time in the Bible, you'll start acting more like your Savior. I can't stand watching the news. I don't even watch the news no more. I don't got a TV in my house in the sense of if you could have it, save it. Because you know what? It's the same thing week after week, year after year, since Bill Clinton was in office. Same thing. Every week. We're more concerned about our country than souls. We're more concerned about our country than souls. Listen, if we were concerned about souls, everybody in this church would be out there Thursday night holding up some signs. And I'm not trying to strong arm you. That's not me. That's not me. But what do you put the emphasis on? What do you put the emphasis on? Where's your emphasis? What do you emphasize? If I were to ask a good friend of yours what they would say you place the emphasis on, what would they say? Well, he surely loves that. He surely loves that. Well, they say he surely loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he surely loves his music. He surely loves his car. He surely loves his sports. He surely loves his news. He surely loves this. He surely loves that. I want somebody to ask, if they ask about me, I want them to say, Chris Walton loves Jesus Christ. Chris Walton wants to serve Jesus Christ. Chris Walton wants to be faithful to Jesus Christ. You see, this morning, as your preacher and as your pastor, I want you to have fruit that will abound to your account someday before the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The pastor is supposed to be the overseer. Not that you would benefit me, but I want to see you live a life for God that someday you get home and Jesus says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want no accolades this morning. I don't care what you think about me this morning. I want you to glorify Jesus. I want you to be pleasing in His sight when you go home someday. That's what I desire as your pastor. That's why I'm so animate. That's why I get so loud, because I want you to realize that the devil is a liar. Look at John chapter 10. Look at John chapter 10 and verse number 10. Look at this morning with me. John chapter 10 and verse number 10. John 10:10. Actually, look at verse number 9, verse 7, verse 6. John 10:6. Listen, I ain't preached my notes this morning. John 10:6. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. You know why Jesus spake to them in parables? Because they were just using them. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. But look at verse 10. The thief, that's the devil, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Some of you are miserable this morning. You put on a good show coming into church. You got the smile. You're dressed right. Everything's fine. But when you go home at night and you lay your head in a pillow at night, you're miserable with the way your life's gone. Death, because the thief has come to steal and to kill and destroy. How many things has the devil stole from you this morning? You don't even realize it. How many things has the devil stole from you this morning and you don't even realize it? How many things has the devil stole from you this week and you don't even realize it? Peace, rest, comfort. He's stolen it because you have allowed him to steal it. Instead of resting on Jesus Christ, you're worried, you're anxious, you're fretting. Why? Because you're spending more time in the world and the ways of the world rather than with Jesus Christ and what his word says. And listen, I'm preaching to myself as well this morning. I am preaching to myself as well this morning. How many times have I let the devil steal from me? Steal peace. Steal comfort. Steal joy. Steal happiness. Steal gladness. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill. Kill what? Kill happiness. Kill joy. Kill peace. And to destroy. But Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeing the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and then the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. Let me ask you this question this morning. Do you hear the voice of the shepherd? Verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Do you hear the voice of the shepherd this morning? Do you hear the voice of the shepherd? The Bible says that his sheep know his voice. When's the last time you talked to the shepherd? When's the last time you spent time with your shepherd? I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd. When's the last time you let him lead, guide, and direct you in your life? When's the last time you yielded yourself over to him and let him have his will and way? You You see, some things may never occur in our life with what we desire until we do what we know we need to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say that again. There's some of you in here this morning that have lost family members, but the Lord may never get in there and really deal with those lost family members until you're willing to yield yourself to what God wants you to do. I'm not saying that's always the case, but I'm thinking sometimes we hold back what God could do because we haven't yielded to Him yet. So how can we expect our children or our families to yield to Him? Brethren, I'm serious on that statement right there. If we're not willing to yield to Jesus Christ and what He desires in our life, how can we expect our loved ones to do the same? If we're not willing to sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ, how can we ever expect our loved ones to take Him as Jesus Christ as their sacrifice? I'm going to close with this last scripture. Flip over to Revelation chapter number 4. Revelation. Let's make a little bus stop real quick. It's not even 11:45 yet. Make a bus stop over. Look at Revelation chapter 3 real quick. And look at verse 14. Revelation 3 verse 14. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Jesus says this. Jesus says unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Do you see what Jesus is saying here to the last church there, the church of Laodiceans, which if you look up the definition of Laodicea, it means the rights of the people. My rights. If we're not living in that time and hour, I don't know when it will be. But we are living in a time and hour where everybody thinks it's my right for you to hear what I got to say. My rights. My rights. My rights. I have rights. You have no rights unless God gives it to you. I have my rights. I'm an American. I have my rights. I demand my rights. Listen, I've done work in prisons before, and I have prisoners that are in segregation and lockdown, and they're like, my rights. I'm thinking, man, you just threw pee on an officer. Yeah, but I got my rights. Church of Laodicea. My rights, my rights. And Jesus says to him, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would, if either you be cold or you be hot, but you're not. You're just right there in the middle, just riding along comfortable. How many Christians today are just riding along, just comfortable in their state because everything pretty much is going well in my life. My house is fine. I'm able to pay my bills. My car is running. Everything's going good. I'm just coasting along here. Jesus said, do not be in that state. It's better you be cold. I would rather have people come into church this morning that don't know God, that have tattoos all over their face and earrings down to here and never even heard of God and is an atheist, than a lukewarm person who believes they're a Christian. Because at least I know where that individual stands. It's the lukewarm individual I got to be concerned about, because they're just content just to sit there and be happy. At least the person's cold knows they're cold. Why the church has no power today? Because we're lukewarm. Just coasting right along, thinking everything be all right, when it's not all right and it's not okay. Jesus said in verse 16, so then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I, this is what Jesus said, this is not Chris, this is not Pastor, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's pretty strong language by Jesus. Jesus said, basically, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth because you make me sick. I will spew thee out of my mouth. Why will Jesus spew them out of his mouth? You get the answer in verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I'm almost done. I'm going to help you. Please, I pray God to help you this morning with this. Brethren, those of you who are saved this morning here, but you're not doing right by God. Someday the Bible, the principles there, it seems to be that when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, before you get your wedding garment, there may be the thought that you could stand before Jesus naked in your shame. Because look what Jesus said. He says, because thou sayest I'm rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He's not talking about physical nakedness. He's talking about your soul. He's talking about your spirit. He's talking about maybe how you might appear before him before the judgment seat of Christ. And now I'm talking about saved individuals this morning. Now, if you're lost, you're going to stand before the great white throne judgment. There ain't no hope for you. But the saved individual, there seems to maybe be the possibility that we're going to appear before the Lord in a certain state with certain garments. The other day when I was preaching, I think it was Wednesday night, I made a mistake because I said your wedding garment. I'm talking about your garments before you go through that judgment seat of Christ. Now afterwards, you'll be given a wedding garment. That'll be perfect. I'm talking about that time before when you go to stand before Jesus Christ and give an account of how you've lived your life since you've been saved. Did you lay up wood, silver, did you lay up gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, stubble? Do you see, as you as a saved individual this morning, you are laying up something over there on that other side. You might be saved, yet so as by fire, and all you have over there is wood, hay, stubble. Again, as your preacher this morning, I want you to have gold, silver, and precious stones over that other side. You see, when you get to heaven someday, I don't want you to have to hang your head saying, I wish I would have done it different. I wish I would have listened to the word of God. I wish I would have laid up treasures in heaven. You see, once you take that last breath, that seals off that account that it can never be added to ever again, because you'll always do right on that other side. Now is the time. Now is the time. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. You don't know how much time you got left. Live it for Jesus Christ. Don't live it to get that nice Lexus. Now, would I like to have a nice Lexus? Yes. But I'm content with my little Saturn, because I'd rather have gold, silver, precious stones over there. Do you see what I'm saying this morning? I'm not saying if you got a nice car this morning, go out and sell it. But get the principle of what I'm saying. He's got a very nice car, but guess what? It's going to burn up someday, and he would agree with me on that. Everything you see is going to burn up with someday. It's going to be gone. Everything you see on this planet someday is going to melt with a fervent heat and be gone, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Do you realize what I'm saying this morning? A new heaven and a new earth. A city that's 1,200 to 1,400 miles long, a city 12 to 1,400 miles high, and a city 12 to 1,400 miles wide, the new Jerusalem. That's not even counting the new earth and the new heavens. You're talking about a city someday that's from about New York City down to Miami, on over to the Mississippi River in New Orleans, on up to maybe Chicago and over. A city that big, a city that high, a city that wide. It'll take you 2,000 years just to go through one level. Don't let the devil steal from you. Don't let the devil steal from you. And your focus just be on the here and now. The here and now is going to disappear pretty quick here. I love you this morning. I love you. That's why I'm so adamant. You can hate me. That's fine. You cannot like what I'm saying. That's fine. But if what something I say this morning, God bears witness to it, will draw you closer to him, it's worth it all. Do you see this morning? I want you to be a sheep this morning that produces a fleece that will glorify the shepherd. I got a picture when I was down in Dominican Republic when I lived down there. I got a picture one day. I took me and the other missionary took some people to a little hospital, and I was sitting outside waiting while the people were being seen by the doctors. And I was down there in the Dominican, and I was in an alleyway where the hospital was, just a little tiny building. And I looked down the alleyway, and I was like, "What is that down there? What is that way down there?" It was some type of animal. But I said, "It sure doesn't look like a dog." So I started walking down. I had my camera with me, and I got down about halfway, and I look, and I said, "Oh, that is a sheep." And I got the picture at home someday if you'd like to look at it, but that sheep was the ugliest looking sheep I'd ever seen in my life. Its fleece was all messed up. It was all matted. Some parts were just gone. Dirty, filthy, and it was eaten out of the garbage can. And it hit me like that. That's what a lot of Christians look like today. They saved, they're going home, but their fleece is filthy, it's all dirty, and they're eaten out of a trash can. Brethren, God desires for your fleece to be white and for you to eat out of the grass of his green pastures. That you would eat out of the grass of his green pastures. Let's finish up here, Revelation chapter 3, and look at verse number 18. Look what Jesus says here. Jesus says, I counsel thee. Remember what we read over in Psalm chapter 1? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Rather than walking in the counsel of the ungodly, why not walk in the counsel of our Savior? Look what Jesus says. He says, I counsel thee. I instruct thee. I try to help thee. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as, look what Jesus says in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Is your ear open this morning to see what Jesus is saying to the church of Laodicea? I believe we are in the Laodicean church age. Is your ear open this morning to hear what Jesus is saying? Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. A lot of churches today, Jesus is on the outside knocking and trying to get in. This is the only church where you find that Jesus, it appears to be on the outside trying to knock and get into his own church. If he's knocking on your heart's door this morning, I pray you'd open up and allow him to come in and save you. I pray if you're back on the Lord but you're saved this morning, I pray you allow the Lord to come on in and get things the way they need to be in your life, so that you can be clothed and that your nakedness does not appear when you stand before him someday. That you may have gold tried in the fire and white raiment. Where are you at with the Lord this morning? How is your spiritual walk? Do you spend time with Jesus? Is he spending time with you? Or are you eating out of the trash can of this world? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world and lust thereof shall pass away. I'm paraphrasing it. 1 John chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because the world and all we see is going to pass away. But what we do for God will abide forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I glorify you, Lord. God, I pray, dear God, you'd help us, Lord, to refocus. Lord, I pray you'd help us to refocus. I pray you'd help us to see, Lord. I pray you'd help us to meditate. I pray you'd help us to think upon these things, dear God. Lord, that we would take a real look at our spiritual walk. And Lord, what we put the emphasis on and what we're standing upon. God, help us to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Help us not to lose focus of why we're here and where our true country lies and where our true citizenship is in heaven. Lord, I pray you'd help our country. God, I pray this morning, Lord, I pray this morning, dear God, how much I despise it, Lord. I don't like it. I don't like that Joe Biden's president, but Lord, he is. And your word tells me to pray for all that are in authority. So I pray this morning, Lord, you'd help our president, dear God. God, I pray you'd help him, Lord. I pray you'd deal with him about his soul. God, I pray you'd bring conviction upon Joe Biden. I pray you bring conviction upon his wife, Jill. Lord, I pray that they'd think about their soul in eternity. Dear God, before it's too late for him. God, I pray you deal with his children as well, Lord. Open his two children's eyes, dear God, about where they truly stand. And that, Lord, that there's a savior for their soul. God, I pray for our vice president, Kamala Harris. How much, Lord, I disagree with it, dear God. I don't like saying it, Lord, but she's in a position of authority. And I pray, God, you help her this morning, Lord, to make righteous decisions. But most importantly, dear God, I pray you deal with her and her husband about their soul. Lord, I pray you'd bring some type of scripture, Lord, across their path that they'd read it and they'd think about their eternal destiny. God, I pray for our Supreme Court, Justice Alito and Sotomayor and Lord Roberts and Lord, all our Supreme Court justices. Dear God, I pray you'd deal with them this morning as well, Lord God, that they'd make righteous decisions, that they see the errors of their ways, dear God, and they repent and turn back to you, God, in truth through the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray for our Governor Wolf, Lord, this morning, and his wife and family. Dear God, I pray you deal with him about his soul. God, help him as he leaves the state of Pennsylvania, dear God, to make righteous decisions. But most importantly, Lord, his spiritual state. Susan Wild as well, Lord. God, all that are in positions of authority in this county, in these townships, dear God, help our nation, Lord. Lord, we deserve to be destroyed, dear God, because of our wickedness and our turning a back on you, Lord. Help us, dear God, as Daniel prayed for his country, Lord, I pray we pray for ours. Lord, I love you this morning. Help these precious brethren. Lord, help us to love you more. Help us to draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. And help us, Lord, to not let the devil steal our time, to kill our joy, and to destroy our happiness that can be found in Jesus Christ. Lord, be with us now, I ask. Protect those that drive home now, Lord. And Lord, if it be your will, you bring us back home safe or back to church this evening safely. And we just ask all these things now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Brethren, I love you. And you're dismissed. And maybe, Lord willing, see you tonight.